the most normal thing in the world to feel in a state of despair and to feel in a state of hopelessness, to feel weak and to feel lost and to feel broken, the more I accept this, the more I can become grateful and appreciative of everything that I do have. So first, just a quick recap of the previous class in our course, Practicing Faith. What we said last week was that faith, believing, the act of believing, it's not just starting to believe in something we haven't believed in before, or to become stronger or more convinced in that belief or faith. It's drawing down into our consciousness a hidden, superconscious, psychological, spiritual force that hides within us, that is sort of embedded within us. It's latent. We all have it. It's sort of bequeathed to us by Abraham and by all our forefathers, and it's part of our soul. And it's there. It could be dormant. It could be mostly dormant. It could be wholly dormant. And the act of becoming a believer and becoming stronger in our faith, in our belief, means drawing down this power, this potential, this bond with God from a state of being unconscious, untapped. It's called in a state of surrounding light. It's above our consciousness. It's there. It's almost, it's like it's guarding us. It's watching over us. But we may not be aware of it. And drawing that down into our consciousness, that is what faith is all about. And that's what this course is all about. And the idea is that this is done, among other things, by understanding, having a better, more detailed, richer understanding of what faith is, just what it is. The more we talk about it, the more we pay attention to it, the more we discuss it, the more it becomes an element in our lives, in what we in learning and talking to other people, in practicing, looking at the world through the eyes of faith, then the more we draw down, we tap into this force and we draw down into our consciousness, that it becomes more conscious. Now, this week, when we read the Torah, we just moved into the third portion of the Torah, and we're introduced to the new protagonist of the Torah after Adam and his descendants, and after Noah and his descendants and what they do. And now we've arrived at Abraham. Abraham is the 20th generation from Adam, according to the simple, straightforward reading of the Torah. And he's the first patriarch of Judaism, not only of Judaism. He's blessed in being a father of many nations. That's the topic of the other class we're having. And he's also called the head of believers, the first believer, or the first believer in the sense that is more familiar to us, a believer in an invisible God creator, the one creator of the entire universe, against the background of many non-believers. So, of course, Adam and Eve conversed with God, so they were believers. And the same went for the following generations. But it disappeared from humanity. It sort of faded away. And it started fading away before the flood, before Noah. And then Noah was like an attempt to start again, but it was lost again in a different way. It didn't reach the state that the humanity needed to be punished with a flood, but it reached another kind of state that humanity brought up or propped up, built this edifice, celebrating itself, celebrating mankind, the image of man, the power of man, the intellect of man, the technological capacity of man, and all this pushed away God again, outside of the picture. So becoming a believer against the background of a world that doesn't believe in God, which is, among other things, a very lonely experience, that is embodied in the figure, in the story of Abraham. He was what many, many years later in the previous generation was called the lonely man of faith by Rabbi Soloveitchik. And it really harkens back all the way back to Abraham. Abraham was at first very much alone in his experience, But what he tried to do and what he dedicated his entire life to was sharing this faith with other people, trying to share the unshareable, trying to speak, to be the speaker for something that is deeply ineffable, unspeakable. You can't really explain it or share it, and yet he tried. He tried to do this impossible feat of how do you take something, how do you explain that you can, that you have this faith in an invisible God that's the almighty creator of everything, when the world doesn't reveal this God in a straightforward way, only in a very indirect way. And this faith itself, it's something so intimate, so subtle within you. How can you share this? But if we don't share this, then the world becomes, or the world is abandoned to its experience of just being in nature, experiencing the world as the cosmos, as the universe, as this magnificent machine, as this magnificent organism, whatever it is. But the ultimate divine transcendent root of it is lost. And that's the main thing. That gives life and inner meaning to everything. That's the soul of everything. So you can't really talk about it, but you can't really keep silent. And this is what Abraham is all about. So we want to start learning about faith from Abraham. We want to see what Abraham can teach us about faith. And we'll start now, and we'll see how long it takes us. We have Abraham for a few weeks now anyway, as we read the Torah. So we're gonna try flowing with that. So we're starting actually with one verse that's not in our parasha, but it's a very idiomatic verse characterizing Abraham, which is, he says at some point, "V'anochi afar va'efer," and I am as dust and ashes. When he compares himself to God, to Hashem, and he sees the infinite power and magnificence of Hashem, and he sees his place in this massive universe, then he has this verse, I am dust and ashes, compared in relation to this infinite light of Hashem. Now, it's two words in Hebrew, and they're very similar in Hebrew. It's not like that in English. The word for dust is afar, and the word for ashes is efer. The two last letters are identical. The first letter is where the distinction lies, and it's ein in afar, in dust, and it's aleph in efer, which is ash or ashes. And there are many pairs of words that go together. That the only difference between them is that one is written with an ein, wasn't one is written with an aleph. And today, for most modern Hebrew speakers, especially if you're Ashkenazi, unless you really strain, you won't hear the difference. It sounds the same, ein and aleph. It's just ah, just like a. For more people whose speech is still rooted in traditional Sephardic speech, you can tell the difference more. They pronounce the throaty ein. And it's very similar letters. So we want to talk first about the first word, which is afal, dust or dirt or earth. And all this is in the word afal. So what do we learn from this about Abraham? But more, what do we learn from this about emunah, about faith? What can it tell us? So basically, the image of dust is a metaphor for a trait that is called lowliness. A state of lowliness, a sense of lowliness, is a sense of being very close to the ground, very close to inanimate matter, and the opposite of having arrogance and pride. Arrogance and pride is when you lift up and you sort of defy the gravity of your own mortality, and you feel that you rise above everything. And it is true that in many situations in life, we do have to rise. We have to rise to the occasion of fighting this war and winning it. We have to rise to the occasion of leading. But it starts, if you want to rise in a good way, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be an influencer, if you want to do meaningful things, that's wonderful, that's great. Abraham was an amazing father and leader, and we have met a history of great leaders. But the condition for this to be sort of immune to the downfall that awaits the arrogant is to imbue it from the very beginning, almost as like a vaccine. You immune yourself against falling by being in a state that's in a way fallen already. You feel, you experience your vulnerability and your mortality and your finitude. You experience it in a deep way. This is part of what Abraham is giving us. Why does this go along with faith? So when you look at the what we call the map of the soul, the structure of the Ten Sefirot, and it breaks down into 13 levels, which are called the 13 powers of the soul. The first among those, which is what we're talking about, is Emunah, is faith. That's the highest level within the superconscious. It's the highest level within our being. If you look at the lowest level, the 13th level, going from the top down, that would be shiflut, lowliness. And there's a rule that the uppermost point and the lowermost point are deeply connected in some deep way. This is called that the end is wedged in the beginning, and the beginning is wedged in the end. So there's a deep connection between emunah, faith, which is the highest, most loftiest, most spiritual connection to in the infinite light of Hashem, and this very, very physical, coarse feeling of being in a body, in a mortal, fragile, vulnerable body that's the source of our passions and our weaknesses and so on. There's a deep, deep connection between them. And we see this in a beautiful way. If you think, I just spoke about 13 levels within the soul. There's another important 13 set in Judaism, which is the 13 articles of faith listed by Maimonides. We spoke about Maimonides last week. Also, Maimonides said, we need something that Christianity and Islam have, and it's very articulated there, a set of faith, of articles of faith, which incredibly, very few people before Maimonides tried to do. Because Judaism is more about practice. But there's also an element of what you have to believe. So he listed 13 things. Now, if you look at the first and the last of these, then the first one, and they correspond in a way to the 13 levels within our own soul. So the first, we're only going to talk about the first and the last one. And why? Because it says there's an important verse that says, "Tzaddik be'emunato yichye," the righteous man lives through or with his faith. But if you break up the word be'emunato, in his faith, you can read it as bet emunot, two faiths. There are two major articles of faith among the 13. So you can say that's the first and the last one, right? It's always like in the book, the first line and the last line are the most important in many ways. So the first article of faith is just faith in Hashem, that there is a creator of the world and that he exists. That's the first one. And then you have a lot of things. You have the fact that he doesn't have a body and that you can't see him and that he gave the Torah, there's only one Torah, and that there's prophecy, all kinds of things. And then the last one, number 13, which corresponds to the element of lowliness and to the sense of coming out of dust, and returning to dust. This is the belief in the reincarnation of the dead in the future, in the end of times. The end of times, all the people who died, including, for example, the people we are still burying and mourning, the 1400 people who died, all the people who ever die, at the end of days, we have this belief. It's very complex to think about when you imagine this and how it would be, but we have this basic belief that, unlike some religions that say that we're all going to meet in some afterlife, that afterlife is just it's just temporary. And the ultimate vision and goal and hope is that we all be reincarnated in actual bodies, because we believe that the highest level of serving Hashem and of existence is of an embodied soul, not of a disembodied soul, but of an embodied soul. This is why we love life and we celebrate life and we say L'chaim over everything. So we want the dead to come back to life. Now, this is hard for many people to grasp, and many people have a hard time with it. It's, as you can see, it's very specific as opposed to the first one, which is the most abstract. But the thing is that you need to understand this also on a personal psychological level. On a personal psychological level, the belief in the reincarnation of the dead is the belief that I can rise from a state of depression, from a state of inertia, from a state of hopelessness, from a state in which I feel a little bit dead. I feel deadened. I feel that something has been muted, that I am a little bit dead. I'm tired of life. I don't have hope. And we all experience this in one way or another. And the belief in the resurrection of the dead is the belief that I can be resurrected right now. And this is deeply connected to the feeling of loneliness and feeling of being in a state of dust. Dust means that if the more I connect to the fact that I am very, very fragile and very weak, and it's the most normal thing in the world to feel in a state of despair and to feel in a state of hopelessness, to feel weak and to feel lost and to feel broken, the more I accept this in a way, the more I can become grateful and appreciative of everything that I do have. The reason we're not grateful for being able to breathe and walk and live and be infinitely rejuvenated and excited over this fact is that we're taking it for granted. And the more we identify and associate ourselves in some way with the element of dust, of afar, of loneliness, the more we can appreciate this. This connects to another important characteristic of Abraham, the fact that he's associated so much with chesed, which is love and loving kindness and the act of giving. What's the connection? The connection is that the more lowly he feels, that he says, ani afar, the more he can be grateful for God's chesed, for God's loving kindness and grace in creating and recreating the world anew in each moment. And the fact that Hashem is present in each moment, and this is an amazing force of chesed. Olam chesed yibaneh, the world is created and constantly recreated with chesed. And you need to feel that nothing is granted, nothing is obvious, nothing goes without saying. And this is the feeling of sort of being in a state of dust or connecting with the element of dust. And you can appreciate this. And then this is the reason that Abraham could be such a vehicle, that's the Kabbalistic term, a vehicle or a chariot for the divine attribute or force of chesed and love and giving. And he could be such an amazing giver who opened his tent in all directions and who took all guests in and helped everyone. So these two things, emunah and shiflut, faith and lowliness, go together. There's a beautiful gematria that says that if you take the value of emunah, the value of emunah is 102. You take all the letters, you add them together, you get 102. Shiflut is 816. That's shiflut. What does that tell us? It tells us, if you do the math, it's a simple math, that shiflut, lowliness, is 8 times faith. And if you write the word faith, emunah, 8 times, emunah, 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 8 times, you put it all together, you get lowliness, shiflut. What does this mean? It means basically that in Hebrew, I would say, if you take the word 8 in Hebrew, is shmone. Shmone has to do with the word oil and also with the word fat, because the oil is fatty. And also neshama is the same letters. So the idea is that if you take emunah, emunah is very, very subtle, and you draw it down into your consciousness, and it expands and it grows, just like the little flask of oil in the miracle of Hanukkah that appears to be very, very tiny, but it was enough to lit up the menorah of the temple for 8 days. So if you take the very subtle force called emunah, and you draw it down and you expand it and you unfold it and you open it up eightfold, it manifests in our soul as shiflut. Shiflut is the manifestation. So shiflut is also very subtle, but it's much more present as a conscious experience in our inner lives. So there's a beautiful connection between these two levels. As we draw down faith, and it becomes ever more present in our lives, it appears as lowliness. Now, lowliness is not, it's just the sort of the ground of our being. the uppermost point is emuna, and the shiflut is the ground of our being. That's how when we start growing. This is like the resurrection of the dead. We start growing from the sense of infinite gratitude and being connected to our needing of Hashem. So we can grow out of this. So this is how, in a deep way, emuna manifests itself in our own being. Now, a final word about the second word that Abraham used. He said afar, and then he said efer, ashes. Ashes is a tougher word to tackle in many ways. Ashes is something that's left behind after something burns. If you take anything, like wood, whatever it is, and you burn it, and then you're left with just a very slight residue of what it is, of what you had before. And it doesn't have these associations of lowliness. And by the way, the main phrase used to connect afar with lowliness, I'm just sort of completing what I said before, is we say this at the end of every prayer that we pray as we recede. We take three steps backwards. One of the things we say just before this is nafshi ke'afar lakol tihye. My soul shall be as dust before everyone else. That I want to feel that I have something to learn from everyone else. That I'm in a sense below them, in the sense that I have something to learn from them. And this is another aspect that faith is embodied within lowliness, is that I can see Hashem speaking to me, teaching me through everyone else. But again, efer with an aleph is more subtle and harder to grasp and understand. But we can explain something beautiful, and it really wraps everything together, what we said about faith and loneliness and chesed and love and giving and appreciating the chesed of Hashem, and also being in a state of giving to others, being those who are gomlei chesedim. Let's add another word here. The other word is kfira. Kfira is heresy or disbelief. It's the opposite of faith. The root of kfira, kaf fei resh, is yet another word that is similar to afar and efer, because the last two letters are the same. And we can say that if afar with an ayin, afar, dust, is emuna, because of everything we just said, then maybe efer relates to whatever remains after I take all my being and I sort of burn it up in a positive way. I sort of light it up and I'm all lit up and I'm all for Hashem. I'm all connected to Hashem. I'm a believer from head to toe. After all this, I'm like the human torch in comics. Like I burn up in faith to Hashem. But then there's something is left, a little bit of ash. That ash is the little part of me, assuming I'm a believer like Abraham, I have a little bit of a part of me that still doesn't believe. This ash is the disbelief that in many ways, in a way we can say Abraham professes to having. There's something beautiful that if you think about this master of faith, and there's something so releasing for us, or so it gives us back our humanity in some way, is that Abraham himself sort of admits or confesses that he also has moments of weakness regarding his own faith, as we all do, because he's human. So the efer, the ash, can be symbolic of disbelief. Now this connects to a beautiful Hasidic saying by Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz, one of the greatest Hasidic rabbis, masters. And he was asked, Rabbi Pinchas, we know from your teachings, from the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, from many teachings, that everything in the world is rooted and has a divine root and has a positive, holy root. Everything. So please tell us, what is the holy root of heresy, of disbelief, of kfira? Let's see you answer that. If you keep saying that everything has a holy root, let's see you take the one thing that's the very opposite of faith and holiness, which is saying denying Hashem, denying the fact that Hashem exists or that He governs the world, denying that. Let's see you find the positive thing about that. And he gave an answer. He said if we didn't have a little bit of disbelief, we wouldn't have been able to do any good deed, like giving tzedakah, giving charity. Because to give tzedakah, you have to have a little bit of non-faith, of disbelief in Hashem, and you have to be a little bit of belief that it's up to me. that person to whom I'm giving the tzedakah, he won't survive without me. I need to be here. The fact that we are part of the cosmos and part of reality and we're needed is a little bit of... Because you could say, ah, Hashem will take care of everything. Hashem, he's the master of the universe. He will take care of everything. He will do everything. Nobody needs me. I can be just totally passive. No. Now this connects what the two main things we said about Avraham. The fact that he is the first believer and that he's the embodiment of the faculty of loving kindness, of chesed. We say, there's a verse that we say, it's a verse from Psalms, we say, "Lagid baboker chasdecha ve'emunatcha baleilot." We wish to praise or talk about your chesed, your loving kindness, in the mornings, and to talk about your faith or how we have faith in you in the evenings. So what is the explanation here? If we look at this from the perspective of what Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz just said, in the evenings, in the nighttime, when it's dark and when we can't do anything, we're back in our beds, back in our homes, and the world is going to sleep, and there's not much we can do, then the only thing we have to focus on is faith, emunah, emunatcha baleilot, not evenings, nights. At nighttime, all we have to do is believe. But when the morning comes, that's the first half of the verse, lagid baboker chasdecha, in the morning when we're going out into the world and we're active and we're working and we're moving and we're doing things, then we don't have to focus on the emunah, on the faith. We have to focus on the chesed, on the love and the giving, which in a way you can say is emunah has been pushed away. We're a little bit of disbelievers now, just like Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz said. And we have to feel a little bit that Hashem depends on us, not that we depend on Him, that Hashem depends on us to do whatever it is we need to do. So Abraham, in a way, embodied both. At nighttime, he would be the master of faith, the first believer, and in the mornings, he would be emboldened by this feeling that he needs to be active, very much active, in propagating the faith, in helping others, in going to rescue his nephew, in going to do whatever he needs to do. And to go about, and he was very active in his life. He moved from place to place, and he did things constantly. And he was very, he had alacrity. It's a beautiful English word. He was very quick in going about things and helping others as much as he could. And so this comes from this element of disbelief that we all need. We also need this, by the way, when we're in a state of war. When we're in a state of war, when soldiers... possibly tomorrow, possibly tonight, we're awaiting for the moment in which our soldiers are going to the ground and going to Gaza. They need to have both elements. They need to have very, very, very strong faith that they're watched over, that there is divine providence, that Hashem is on their side, that Hashem is watching over them and is helping them and is giving them all the power that they need. And it's not their own power. It's not military power of that is only up to them. They need to have this faith in Hashem, but they also need to feel that they can't be, you know, passive or too much rely on this. They need also to feel, to have a little bit of ash, a little bit of disbelief, and to feel that it's up to them. That they need to be brave and strong, and to go out and give everything that they have in order to win this war. So Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope that through this class, we all learned a little bit more about what faith means, about what Avraham can teach us about faith, and also how to balance this very sort of passive belief in Hashem with a very active approach to life. And may this class give koach and give blessing to all the soldiers that are about to embark on an important combat in the South. Thank you very much. This video was made possible through the kind support of my sponsors over at Patreon. Patreon is a great way to help independent creators like myself produce original content. If you'd like to get more English language videos from me, please consider becoming a supporter via Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Thank you very much.